you would, find the scripture, James 1, 22 through 25. We're still in the series Switch. We will be all through Easter. But today we're going to see how you switch from being a hearer to becoming a doer for the Lord. Let's read this. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it is not a forgotten hearer, but one who does God's works or good works. This person will be blessed in what he does. Let's pray together. Would you take a moment and tell the Father that you love him today from our hearts here as we gather in worship to his heart today? Let him hear from you. Then move your prayer into being grateful, being thankful. Who the Lord is, what he does, how he leads you through, what he reveals to you. Just give thanks. We come into this service with thanksgiving. We enter this property with thanksgiving. This is not just a casual moment. It's a moment set aside for worship and reflection. Placement of where God is in our life. We ask that you take a moment and pray for other people right now that overlap into your life. You're standing in the gap for them and with them. You're remembering them today. And as we remember them, we're giving their name, their situation to our Heavenly Father. So just do that right now. Praying's not the least we can do, it's the most we can do. And as you're praying for others, pray a blessing over those who are around you, literally standing near you. Pray for your family, wherever they may be. Pray a blessing over them. We continue to pray for peace. The Lord would expect us to do that. Israel, the peace of Jerusalem, what's going on there in Gaza, Russia, Ukraine. We pray for peace that is there. Things that are rising in the Middle East, we pray for peace there. We pray for nations. And you need to know there are great movements of God in other nations. I was in a conference Monday, and a dear friend shared with me there that there are only two countries in the world where Christianity is not growing, and America is one of the two. That the kingdom of God and his church is moving and flourishing in other parts of the world. It's just not doing as well here. Pray for our nation too. Our hearts would return back to him. As the rain continues, even while we worship today, we pray for those who are victims of flooding that's happened. Devastating, devastating. Some who lost their house in other floods recently, only to rebuild and move in for 1 month to lose their house again to another flood. I can't imagine. So pray for the relief efforts, the recovery efforts, the resourcing efforts. Pray for hope there. Our trailers that are out here, our disaster relief trailers that are in the parking lot and have been, you're only there to be repurposed somewhere else and to be used and moved on to another place of service and to bring relief. I just pray for a double portion of blessing upon these areas. Pray over your offering today that you brought. Ask the Lord to bless it. Your offerings help us to fund other relief programs, disaster relief programs, which we give to. And then we also help to store and get ready, like trailers, communication trailers, shower trailers, all kinds of different units so that they'll be ready to go. Ask the Lord to bless your offering today, your financial offering. And then also ask the Lord to bless you. You're an offering. We will always emphasize that in our praying. You're an offering. today. We surrender our lives for God to use us and to allow us to serve in his kingdom. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit, any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation. Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. Lord, you look at all of us today, but you see me differently, much differently. You're rough on me. You're tougher on me than anybody in the building because I'm your teacher and I'm your preacher. You expect more out of me, Lord. And I know that I'm under a greater and a more strict judgment because of what you called me to. And I know it and I accept it in rightly dividing your word. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's really good to see you today. Thanks for making your way in, and continue to pray for those who are a part of they're victims of all the flooding that's going on. We're going to look at James 1:22, and we're in our series of Switch, and we're going to see, as I introed with it, switching from being a hearer to being a doer of the word. And we want to begin with verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Amy, our church administrator, we affectionately refer to her as our boss. She gave me a book some time ago, and it was a book called Hearers and Doers, or the title of the book, Hearers and Doers, if you're interested in it, by Kevin Van Hooser. And I went back to some of the things that we learned from that book. And here's one of the things I want to bring out of that book to you. One is, hearing is equal to understanding. When you hear something, it's not that it just goes through your ears and it is configured by your brain to be able to hear. It is you understand it. Hearing is understanding. Doing is equivalent to obedience or acting it out. I want you to know it's intended in Scripture for those two to be the same thing. That when you hear and understand, it's an automatic to obey. It's connected. Look at Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5 for a moment. Some of you may know this as the Shema. A lot of people use this verse in Israel, and it's prayed twice a day in the mornings and in the evenings, sometimes more than twice a day, but specifically mornings and evenings. And you may have learned it here, O Israel, but I wanted you to see this translation of it. It means, listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And we go back to that original verse 4. The word hear actually means, or listen means, obey. The intent of hearing and obeying are meant to be living in context together. They're not to be separate, is the intent of our Lord. So I want to remind you, even James in this book that we're in reminds us, be swift to hear. Really means to listen, to understand what's going on. Then he gives us the mandate, be slow to speak and be slow when it comes to being angry. So even though the intent of God is for hearing and obeying, or hearing and doing to be together, James says in reality that may not be the case. That we have people who become hearers only. And he says in this, if you go back to verse 22, that he says that being doers of the word and not hearers only, the indication is that hearers only are deceiving themselves. So let's work with that for just a moment. Let's unpack that. Romans 10, 14 and 17, we're going to read this to you together. I want you to know we all begin with hearing and understanding. It's not something we dodge, we move around. That's where we start. We hear and we understand. Then it moves on to being a doer. But Romans 10, 14 through 17 is going to have to do with hearing or understanding. But how can they call on him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? Verse 15, how can they preach unless they are sent? You do see the word sent there, right? You see the arrow right here? You see that arrow? Yeah. Sent. How can they preach unless they are sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce or bring the gospel and the good news or good things. Verse 16. But all did not obey the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from what is heard. You may have learned it. Faith comes from hearing. And what is heard comes through the message of Christ. You may have learned it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. So I want you to see the importance of hearing and understanding. We don't go around it. That's where we begin. But the truth of it is you don't stay there. And if we're not careful, that'll be our practice. Is I just need to hear, 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 and hear. I need to hear. Yes, you need to hear. But understanding the mind of God, hearing and obeying are the same thing. Hearing by itself and obedience is foreign to his character and the way that he thinks. He sees them being combined and coming together. So it starts with hearing and understanding, and then it moves on quickly to you and I become doers. And it said the hearers only are deceived. We're going to unpack it another level. Look at James 1, 23 and 24 for just a moment. This is a picture of what a hearer-only person looks like. And we're going to break this down. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man looking in at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, immediately forgets what kind of man that he was. Just leave that verse there, Travis, if you don't mind, right there. The hearer-only person can be a very deceived person. I want you to look in this verse what they do. Let's just look at the steps in this verse. Number one, they look at themselves. They look at themselves. They're looking in a mirror. I want to remind you, the mirror of that day is not the mirror that you and I have. It doesn't have all the border lights in it and all that. It's polished metal. The mirror of their day is polished metal. On a good day, okay, depending on how polished the metal is, they still see a distorted view of themselves. It's not real clear. This is important to the sermon today. When they see into polished metal, they see a reflection, but it's a distorted reflection of who they are. It says that the hearer only looks at himself, first point. Second, goes away. Have you ever heard me preach about drifting? At least Vanessa has. I'm expecting a glory out of you, Denny, so I don't know where that came from or didn't come from. So we drift. You got to watch the drift. The enemy's design, it's actually in James, is where we get this. The book we're in now is the enemy in the world will cause you to drift. You need to understand it's part of their plan to get you to drift. It's they huddle up to get you to drift. So look here. He says he looks at himself. He looks at himself. He goes away. There's a drifting. And immediately forgets. Immediately forgets. Y'all don't even remember what I preached last Sunday. Some of you don't even remember what you had for breakfast. If you even had breakfast.
Adults living in a sixth grade mentality.
That's what I preached last Sunday. Come on now. I love light. I love lumens. Thanks for that. I appreciate that so much. I didn't know where you were going for a minute, Tay. I just heard this. I didn't know where that was headed. And immediately forgets what kind of man that he was. So he's looking at himself. He's drifting. And he immediately forgets what kind of a man that he was. The picture of this polished metal being the only mirror that they have is a distorted view. But it's a picture of, it also is a picture of deception. The way James uses it is I'm willing to be shaped by something else. The deception is this. Notice he says he's looking at himself. It's very important. He's looking at himself. The deception is this. I'm leading me. I'm shaping me or allowing something else or someone else to shape me. I'm guiding me. It becomes me, me, and me. That becomes the problem. Here are only people have a picture that you're here to serve me. It's not the picture. The picture is God has made us doers to be able to serve other folk and other people, all for his honor and all for his glory. So the deceiving part of this is I'm looking at myself in polished mirror. Some would be more polished than or metal. Some of that would be better than other people had, but I'm still seeing a distorted view of me. I'll tell you how I can test this, even with you. Did it with the crowd in the first service. And that is, there are people in this room that believe if everybody were like you, this world would be a fantastic place. That's you looking at you. I just know I can mess stuff up. If I get to looking at me and what a gift I am, and it just goes on and on and on. The key is he was looking at himself, and because he looked at himself, he drifted. He went away, and then he forgets what kind of a man that he is. The picture that we're going to see of what we should be doing is in James 1:25. Let me read that to you. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom, which is the word of God, and perseveres in it, okay, perseveres is important here, it is not a forgetful hearer, hearing mean obeying, and one who does good works, this person will be blessed in what he does. The doer is looking, but he's not looking at himself. He's looking at the word of God. The word of God will remind me of who I was in all of what God has done for me. God, if I'm in the word of God, I'm gonna see who I am. And when I see who I am, I'm also gonna realize the rescue that he has brought to our lives. And it's not a distorted view, it's an accurate view of who I am. The picture of scripture says that you and I were enemies of God, but he saved us and he made us his sons and his daughters. I've said this to you before, to me, that's the way that I understand the gospel message. I understand it through other ways, but it's one of my favorite. That I was an enemy of God and he loved me so much that he adopted me as one of his sons. Only is that possible through the grace and the mercy and the love of God. That can only happen. So when I'm in the word of God, I'm reminded of that. I'm reminded of how complicated, manipulative, selfish any of us can be. And then I'm reminded of what he's done for me. So I'm not letting a polished piece of metal shape me. I'm letting the word of God shape me and who I am. And all that he has done for me, I'm letting that happen. So he looks intently into the word of God. It said he perseveres. He stays the course, which is opposite of he doesn't drift. He's not drifting. I'm not tossed on the waves of doctrine that people talk about. I can hear some things that I'm going, well, that's pretty interesting. And then I'm hearing some things going, I don't think that one was of the Lord. You know, and how do we get to that place? We get to that place because we look intently into the word of God and then we stay the course. And then the other is he's not forgetting what he understands. I'm hearing and understanding which produces going and doing. It's all one and the same to us. When I hear from the Lord, it becomes an action response from us, and then it leads on to doing good works, to action. It's a blessed action, a blessed life, a blessing to other people. What a contrast it is from here only to becoming a doer. And if we're not careful, our Christian culture is about how many conferences you went to and heard, Now you need to hear. But we just get caught up in, I went to hear this, I went to hear that. Jesus does say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But it means understanding to the point of doing. And if we're not careful, we just think I need to be in the context of hearing all the time. There comes a time where you switch from being a hearer only to becoming a doer in your life. And remember, the hearer only life is a distorted view of you, and it is, you become deceived because you think it's about you, literally about you. Here's the picture of the doer life, as I showed you, of looking, staying the course, not forgetting, and blessed acts in your life. The Warren Wiersbe said this, quote, it won't be on the screen, but he said, too many Christians mark their Bibles, but their Bibles never mark them. That's why I tell you, it's not about Christian bumper stickers and t-shirts. Those things do not impress me. They don't tell me that you love the Lord. Your actions of hearing and understanding and doing tell me that you love the Lord. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Be active in them. Be doing those commandments. So quickly, we're about showing the world how religious we are, when all it really comes down to is hearing and understanding the Word of God, and then the action of doing that He calls all of us to be able to do. So the picture is, who we belong to determines our actions. I don't belong to the person in the polished metal. That's not who I am anymore. I belong to Him who came to rescue me. Listen, I am doomed and hopeless without Christ. I am doomed, and when I read the scriptures, I see that. But then I also see what He did. I also see what He did to not make me doomed and hopeless. And I remember, which calls me to living acts of blessing in my life that bring Him honor and that bring Him glory. The picture is in the word doer here that I want to bring out to you. And I love this part. I think this part is absolutely, absolutely beautiful. The part here of doer means that you're a worker, but it means poet. The word doer means poet. It means composer. It can be used as a composer or a maker of things. And I love the poet composer part of that, because it's a picture that you and I do the works of God. We hear and we understand, and hearing and doing are one and the same, and we apply that into our life. That you, the piece of the puzzle that you and I are is just a portion of a bigger masterpiece that the Lord is able to see and that He gets to see. Let me take this a step further. Let's look at Ephesians 2:10. And I put this in the New Living Translation for you just because of the way that it's written. But Paul says, for we are God's masterpiece, but you may have learned it like I did. We are God's workmanship. The workmanship and masterpiece both mean poem. It matches what James does with the word doer in his book. That you and I are a part of this. The hearing and understanding and doing help bring this beautiful picture together. If we're looking at being a poet and a poem, or if we look at it in the picture of being a composer, of you and I are notes on the arrangement that He has that just brings an absolutely beautiful piece of music together. And it works in you. You are God's masterpiece. You're His workmanship. You're His poem. And he's writing a story for the world to hear and see through your life. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He's planned for us to do a long, long time ago. Guys, you know, we gave you that book for Easter. And talking about the Easter code, it's real simple reading, But and I hope you're in it. Just reading that. I've got a watch that I don't use my devotion time for my sermon prep. Real quickly, logically, I could say, I'll just let my study for sermons, I'll let that be my devotion time. I try never to do that. I want to be in his word, so I want to be able to, I don't want to see in a polished piece of metal and see a distorted view of my life. I want to look at his word and see an accurate view of my life. Can I be honest with you here? I didn't say this to the first service, but so many of us will just walk around saying that we're sinners saved by grace, and I get that, but you know what the New Testament calls you? Do you know what the New Testament calls you? You're a saint. I was a sinner saved by God's grace, but I'm not now. Paul addresses the saints that are there. You and I will buy in to that other verbiage. I want to see the word of God as to who I am. I'm his son. He adopted me. I'm sitting in the heavenlies already. What he's going to give Jesus, he's going to give me. You see what I'm saying? I didn't have any of that before I came to Christ, but I have all that since I have come to Christ. It says when I'm going through difficult times, I can choose joy. I can choose a lot of negative emotion, but I can choose joy because of what he's going to do, how he's going to grow me, build my character, and produce me on the other end of this in a way that I couldn't produce myself. So we see who we are, and then we see who the Lord is, and we rejoice in all that he has been able to do for us. Who we belong to determines our actions, and I'm able to see that in an incredible way. You and I, when we are hearing and understanding and we are doing combined, hearing and doing are the same, then you and I are building and we're a part of a greater masterpiece that the Lord is doing. James says this, if you have faith and don't have works, it's dead faith. Your faith is dead. Nowhere does the scripture does it teach you work for your faith. It tells you that you have faith and then works are produced. So James even says in the book that we're in right now, says that if you have faith and don't have works, then your faith is dead. Now listen, I put together a list. I'm going to ask for forgiveness before I start this because I'll probably leave something out. And you're going to want to go, you left that out, you know, and I get that all the time anyway. So when I was pastoring one of my first churches, there was a lady, precious lady, family's close to us, still close to us. And she came to me, and we were in one of those churches that had bulletins and newsletters that none of y'all read. You know what I'm saying? And we had to clean up when you left. For me, growing up, I listened to my dad all the time. My dad was my preacher 7 days a week, so I colored in all the O's. Y'all ever done that? Your bulletin, play hangman, you know what I'm saying? Tic-tac-toe, connect the dots, all that stuff. So she came to us in our bulletin, and she said, I want to put people's birthdays during the week in the bulletin. I said, okay. I said, who's going to put this together? She says, I thought you would. I said, oh, no, 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 no. I'm not spending my time figuring out whose birthday is this week. And because as sure as I do, you know what's going to happen, right? I'm going to leave somebody. All I'm going to hear Sunday after church is you left all over out burning there. Do you not know their birthday? I said, no, I'm not doing that. And she says, well, I'll do it. I said, okay. And do you know the very first week she did it, she left out her son's birthday. I was like, I'm glad you did that instead of me doing that. So I put together something, and it's just, I want you to think about this for just a moment. Everything I'm talking to you about is hearing and understanding and then moving into doing. A lot of what we mentioned that I'm going to mention here is stuff we did not create. Because you're going to think, well, I'm waiting for Pastor Jeff and the church to create more ministries to see if I want to join them or not. Now, it's not the how I lead or how we operate. That may be how your next pastor operates. It's not how this one operates, because I believe when you're in the presence of the Lord in fellowship with him and in his word, you will hear, and I believe you will understand, and then he'll give you tasks that he wants you to do. So a lot of the things I'm talking about are not things that we created on this stage and we presented to you all. It's things that came out of you all from being with the Lord. So locally, we have people here who deliver meals to senior adults on a regular basis. We have people here who serve senior citizen centers that are very reliable and dependable, seeing that they have groceries and they have food and they're taken care of. Some of them are just the menial task of those centers. We have people who supply backpack buddies. We're doing Sunrise, and you're saying, will you announce Sunrise? Sunrise, it dropped in our lap. It's not something we created. It came out of a phone conversation and a tour, and we knew God was putting us in this place. Our children's ministry, Sunday morning and Wednesday night, and our student ministries. I just want to remind you, when Hope Church started in 1998, we did not have a youth ministry until about 3 or 4 years later. And some of that, they just served. Miles, you remember, you just served. And my kids, my own children, were ripe for student ministry. And I could have said, well, we're gonna do student ministry because of my kid. We being mobile, we put them to work, you know, in setting up and tearing down. It was a few years before we started an established student ministry. But we have it, Stephen's ministry. That was birthed out of new member training with a couple in new member training, not anything I presented, where they're great listeners and they're trained to be listeners. And they help people in times of grief. Kids Way, we didn't start Kids Way. Another person started Kids Way. Mentoring programs in the school systems that you all are a part of, the public school systems. Natalie's Sisters came to us. It's a ministry in Lexington that helps women get out of the human trafficking in the sex industry. Avenues went on. Even our safety teams were created by somebody else that came our way. And then we trained others to be able to have those. Our prayer ministries, none of them birthed by our leadership. They all spring out of people. And remember, it's not the least we can do when we pray for you. It's the most we can do. Even afternoon baptisms that's happened recently, the work that you have, that where you work to make a living, some of you see it as your mission field. And remember, we do what we do where we live, work, learn, and play. In the state of Kentucky, not only do we attend camps, but a lot of our people lead in camps, lead worship. Some of them are hired as camp counselors during the summertime. Disaster Relief came to us and we partnered up with them. It didn't originate with us. Some recently went to Eastern Kentucky. When I say east, recently, I don't mean during the Christmas season. They went and took food and supplies to ministries we're connected with there. Even Rashid is taking loads of hay to a equine or a horse ministry because there's no pasture, especially after the flooding. But there's no pasture. The horses are fed sweet feed or hay, eat throughout the year. We help supply that. Nationally and internationally, the Robinsons go out. Abby, in our first service, next week or week after next, she's going to Kenya. She's an audiologist and she's going there. And I think they're projected to help 50 kids be able to hear for the very first time. Isn't that beautiful? We didn't do that. We didn't promote that. That's God was speaking to Abby. We've got folks going to Honduras. I ask you to pray a blessing over your offerings. There's 4 international orphanages that you help support. You help relocate the children in Haiti with quite a few $1,000s to get them back into a school, into a regiment where they could live and learn. Logan Harvey was recently at the beach during spring break. You're thinking, well, that's not ministry. Well, it was through the BCM, the Baptist Campus Ministry. They were there to help bring safety and tell the story of Christ. Some of you are going into counseling ministry and care. I just want you to be able to see that this is not stuff that we announce from the stage like it's a menu at a restaurant. You know what happened? You spent time with the Lord and you heard from the Lord and you understood what the Lord was saying. And in the Lord's eyes, hearing and doing are exactly the same thing. They're not one or the other. James says it became one or the other. It got to where we were hearers only. I don't know what God's asking you to do. It can be simple tasks, but it is the fact that when we do all this, please see that you are part of the poem and you have a part in being the poet and you have a part in the beautiful big masterpiece that the Lord is doing. I say it this way, he's in the work and the whisper. He's in both. And when I used to lead conferences with pastors, I used to call them the steady, ready group. It's the ones that we read about in James where it says they persevered, they stayed the course. And there are many of you who are so reliable and dependable, and I want to tell you what that does. There's a younger generation, and usually by early ages, 5 or 6, and it will depend on the child, they develop an element of trust by that age. And not only in people, and sometimes they can trust wrong people. We obviously know they're bad actors in that. But they develop a sense of trust. For example, like let's say that there's a dad swimming in the 10-foot, just treading water, and says to the son, you know, come on in, son. You know, and they don't know how to swim, but they'll run to the edge and not. That develop of trust is not there. But to that kid that sees the dad say, I'm in the 10-foot, come on in here. And there's this kid that can't swim a lick, you know, like a rock. And they just run off the edge and jump because they're trusting in who their dad is. So when you all work, which I call the steady, ready group, you're faithful, you're reliable, and you're dependable. I just want you to know you are showing a level of trust that children will be able to trust a higher power and will become more able to trust our God by seeing how they trust you, knowing that you trust God. And just being consistent and staying the course, even when things don't go your way and life brings you seasons of suffering, our kids remember that we stayed the course. As difficult as it was, it helps to lead another generation to be able to trust the Lord and also to be reliable and dependable. Do you see that? That in itself is part of this beautiful masterpiece that the Lord does. It brings honor and glory to Him. They see you being faithful. They may not act like it when they're elementary school or junior high, but now my dad has been dead to me longer than my dad was ever alive to me. And let me just tell you what I remember most about my dad is his faithfulness. That's most what I remember about him. It will outlast absolutely everything. And it's part of hearing and understanding and doing. The man and the woman of God, we don't look into a polished piece of metal and see a distorted view. We look into the Word of God to see who I was and now who I am, all because of Christ. We don't drift. We stay the course, no matter what the season is. We stay the course. And it becomes a beautiful picture of all of us acting acting as a blessing because of the blessings that you and I have been able to receive. So it's just who we are. We're also people that we remember. You know, what I'm saying, it's not that you remember last Sunday's sermon, but you remember what the Lord has done for you. And real quickly, the Lord knows how quickly we forget. That's why so many things in Scripture are to remind us of who we are and who He is. I'd love for you to take this home with you today. We gather to go. We gather here today to go. We gather to worship. If you're not careful, your worship can be your God. Meaning this is something we check off. We gather to go. We come here today and to worship and remember, and it's the cross of Christ. It's the resurrection of Christ. It's all that he has done for us. We bring that together, but we gather to go. We don't just gather to gain information. If you're not careful, you'll be a hearer only, and you just want information, information, information. And there's no practicality to it whatsoever. That person is deceived. Second thing, hearers look at themselves. Doers look at the word of God. Third thing, a hearer only is deceived, but a doer is blessed. Go to that last verse, Travis, if you will, in verse 25 of James 1. And I want us to see the end of that. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom, the word of God, perseveres, we endure, stay the course, is not a forgetful hearer, but one who does good works. This person will be blessed in what he does. The hearer only is deceived, but the doer is blessed. Number four, we begin by hearing. It's where we all start, faith and understanding. But there's a switch. Series, there's a switch. And that switch is we become doers, part of building the masterpiece of God. The polished mirror is always distorted. The word of God is always accurate. Some say it's about being, not doing. I've heard that. I've had that discussion. If you really want me to be honest with you, I've had that argument with younger preachers. They say it's just about being. And I go, well, you're half right. They go, what do you mean? I said, it's about being a doer. That's what it's about. It's not just about being. It's about being a doer. In the eyes of God, in the mind of God, you hearing and understanding to him is the same as obedience. Remember, you're a part of the team. You're not the spectator. Remember, you're a part of the crew. You're not the passengers. Hearers only are spectators. Hearers only are passengers. But in Christ, we're part of the team. You're part of the poem. You are a poet. You're a composer. And he uses you, creating the masterpieces of life. I want you to be sent. I want you to tell me, I'm so sick of hearing that word, I can't stand it. I want you to be sent. There's a God who made you, a God who shapes you, a God who calls you. And there are ministries that he will reveal to you. And I want you to have not the fear, but I want you to have the boldness and the courage to hear what he says and understand it, and then let that be your steps of obedience to it. So be sent. You go and do. Let me add one thing. Take somebody with you, okay? Disciple them along the way. And you be blessed, okay? You'll be blessed. Scripture says that. And not only that, you will be a blessing to other people. Let's pray together. Father, I pray over our people today. We thank you for the blessing of Jesus. We're here to worship his sacrifice on the cross, him being raised from the dead. But the power that raised him, Lord, is the power that works in our lives. Help us to keep our focus and not swerve off the course, not drift away, to look not in the mirror or the polished metal, but to look into your word and persevere. We persevere. And Lord, we not only persevere, but Lord, we're looking to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We know that following you, that our actions will become blessed, and that you are using our life to write a poem for all the world to be able to read. Father, we thank you for the promises that you give to us through your son, Jesus. It's in his name that I pray, and we pray together. Amen. I don't know how you'll respond to the invitation today, but the invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, come. It may be your day of surrender. There was a time in a service where it was for me. It became a day that I said, I'm done. I'm not fighting this any longer. And I'm surrendering to it. It's been an incredible ride. It's been an incredible life. All possible because of him. You may want to come and surrender, but you may want to come for prayer, wisdom, and guidance. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, you come. Church, would you stand with me? Team's going to lead us. Counselors, find your place, if you will, and then you come.